the historical background, the timeline, the context of the Megillas Esther. Sometimes we read through the Megillah and we don't fully appreciate what the story is all about because perhaps we are not aware of what was really going on at the time. So we open up the Megillah and we're told, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. So this story took place in the days of Achashverosh. Now, where did Achashverosh come from? Who was he? What was his malchus all about? So Rashi says that he was a melech paras. Rashi writes that he was the king over the Persian dynasty. Shemalach tachas korish lesof shivim shana shal galus bavel. Rashi writes that after 70 years of galus bavel, Achashverosh comes onto the scene after korish. So this is not very clear exactly what Rashi's talking about. Let me just fill in a little bit of the details. We have the Bayis Rishon. In the middle of the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Nevi'im are coming and warning the Jewish people, if you do not do tshuva, there's going to be a terrible calamity, Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, the Jews are going to go into Galus, and the Beis HaMikdash ultimately is going to be destroyed, and that is what happens. On Tisha B'Av, as we know, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jewish people go into Galus. However, the Nevi'im made it quite clear at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and even leading up to it, that there was some kind of assurance that they got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that after 70 years they would have the right to return back to Eretz Yisrael. And this is mentioned by a number of Nevi'im. So in Yirmiyah, the Navi says, V'haysa kala aretz hazos l'charva l'shama. This land is going to be completely desolate, completely destroyed. V'avdu ha'gayim ha'eles melech bavel shivim shana. And everybody will go and serve the Babylonian king for 70 years. V'haya kimlo shivim shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Navi, at the end of the 70 years after the Jewish people have been in Bavel in Galus, Efkod HaMelech Bavel V'alagoyahu Nu'um Hashem Es Havonam, at that time I will now forgive the Jewish people, I'll allow them to come back after 70 years of being out of the land, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'samti Oso L'shimim Oso Olam, once again, I will wipe away all the enemies and I will let the Jewish people ascend onto Yerushalayim and build the Beis HaMikdash once again. The Navi writes in Sefer Yirmiyah as well, Ki cho amar Hashem, ki lefi melos lebavel shivim shana, efkod eschem, hakimosi aleichem, esdvari hatov. God says, don't worry, I will come good on my promise. And I am assuring you that at some point after 70 years of going into Galus and being taken out of your land, you will once again have the opportunity to come back into Eretz Yisrael, which is why Yeshaya HaNavi repeats that as well. And he says, V'haya bayamahu, v'nishkachat tzor shivim shana, ki mei melech echad miket shivim shana. Once again, all the Nevi'im, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Zechariah, they're all making reference to this assurance that they were given of the 70 years that they would be in Galus. But after that, it was quite clear that they would come back to Eretz Yisrael. So getting close to the end of the 70-year period, the first king of the Persian Empire was Koresh. And Koresh was, the historians say, sometime around the year 550 BCE, whatever you make of that. But that's what they say, that Koresh was the first Persian king. And at some point in Koresh's leadership, he got permission, as the Navi says in Sefer Ezra, he got permission and he had this light bulb go off in his head that he should let the Jewish people go back to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild Yerushalayim and once again re-enter into the discussion about building the Beis HaMikdash again. The Navi Yeshaya says that Koresh was called the Mashiach. Mashiach doesn't mean the way we call Mashiach. Mashiach means he is the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the Navi refers to him, that he was considered to be the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is going to allow the building of the Beis HaMikdash once again. So the Psukim say in Sefer Divrei HaYamim, Bishnas Achas LeKoresh Melech Paras. It was the first year of the leadership of Koresh. Devar Hashem b'fi Yirmiyahu Heir Hashem Es Ruach Koresh Melech Paras. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the eyes of Koresh and he gave him this great idea. Vayavar kol b'chol malchusa v'gam b'michtav lemar. And Koresh lets out this decree. He lets everybody know that he has an idea. And not only does he send a letter, he goes bal peh as well. And he's rallying around to let everybody know this new idea. Ko amar Koresh melech paras kol mamlechos ha'aretz nasan li Hashem elokei ha'shamayim. God has given me ownership and sovereignty over all the lands that are under the skies. V'hu pakad alai livnos lo bayis b'Yerushalayim. And the Ribono Shel Olam trusted me, Koresh, to be the one to allow the building of a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Mi bochem mikol amo Hashem elokav imo v'yal. Anyone who feels that they are part of this promise, anyone who feels that they are part of this idea of rebuilding Yerushalayim should now feel that they have every right to do so, and he gave them the permit, and then he tried to galvanize the people to be involved in Shivas Tzion. The problem, as we know, the Gemara says in a number of places, was that the Jewish people really did not respond to the calling of Koresh. 70 years were up. It's not clear exactly. The Nevi'im themselves had trouble calculating when the 70 years started and when the 70 years were therefore supposed to end. In Sefer Daniel, it says that he wasn't so clear himself. Daniel was one of the Nevi'im. He also wasn't so clear about when the 70 years were up. So the Jewish people themselves were not so certain about all of this, and therefore they did not respond to the calling. The Gemara says that many of the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation decided, they made a conscious decision, to stay in Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael. They said, no, we have yeshivas here, and we have everything set up here, and therefore, since this is the Merkaz HaTorah, since this is the central location where Torah is being studied, that's where all of Talmud Bavli was written, therefore they said, we do not feel that now is the right time to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, if you look in the Gemara itself in Maseches Brachos, for those who learn the Daf Yomi, so in the very beginning of Maseches Brachos, the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph has a very striking comment. The Gemara says, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzukanisa. It sounds like the Jewish people passed over the Jordan River twice. Once was in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, right after Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he leaves instructions that Yehoshua ben Nun should lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and do Kibush Haaretz. That was the first time, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem. Then it says, Ad Yavar Amzukanisa, sounds like there was a second time when the Jewish people were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara learns from those psukim that it means the following, Ru'uyim Hayu Yisrael Le'asos Lahem Neis B'mei Ezra. Ezra was the one leading the charge in the days of this Shivas Tzion movement at the end of the 70 years of Galus Babel. And Ezra was supposed to have the same kind of tremendous miracle that happened in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. As we know, anyone who knows the story of Yehoshua ben Nun going into Eretz Yisrael, it was miraculous. And the Gemara says that Ezra was supposed to have the same kind of miracles take place then as what happened in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. And the Gemara says, Ela shegaram hachet. That was the plan, that's what was supposed to happen, but unfortunately the Jewish people violated some kind of egregious error, some kind of terrible avera, and therefore they were unworthy of those great miracles that happened in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. So Rashi there asks, what is the chet? What did they do wrong? And Rashi says the answer is, what they did wrong was, they did not listen to the calling. When the Nevi'im encouraged them, galvanized them to go to Yerushalayim, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, Shivas Tzion, nobody listened, and everybody stayed in Babel. And the Gemara says that the understanding is that that was the terrible chet of their generation, and as a result of that, they were not privy to these incredible miracles that were destined for them to be a part of. So, as we know, Koresh gave the permission. There was a very small group of Jews that listened to him and were following behind Ezra and other Nevi'im to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Zerubbabel was one of the other personalities that is mentioned as the leader, one of the leaders of the Jewish people who was trying to get people to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Who was Zerubbabel? So we only know him from Moshe Tzur. Everybody only knows his name from Moshe Tzur, but who was he? So the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin that Zerubbabel was really a nickname. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Ches, Zerubbabel means Shezaro Bebavel, that he was conceived in Babel, he was raised in Babel, but his real name, says the Gemara, was Nehemiah. So in Navi, we talk about Ezra and Nehemiah, who lived at the same time. The Gemara says that Zerubbabel was the one who helped out Ezra, because they were close friends. Ezra and Nehemiah, they helped everybody try to go to Eretz Yisrael. Then the Psukim say in Sefer Ezra that although they had been given permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and although there was some kind of movement of Shivas Tzion, at some point, it's not exactly clear when, but at some point, that permission was taken away. There were people who lived in Eretz Yisrael who sent some kind of petition, and they did not want that the Jews should have the opportunity to build a Beis Hamikdash. And at that point, it all stopped. The Medrash writes that it stopped in the days of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is the one who took over after Koresh, and he comes on the scene. He starts getting letters from people in Eretz Yisrael petitioning, why are you allowing the Jews to go ahead and build a Beis Hamikdash again? We were just fine in Israel without them. Let's go back to the olden days of no Jews in the land of Israel. And that was the plan. Ahasuerus actually accepted it. And he stops the plans for building the Beis Hamikdash. So this is really the backdrop of what's going on with Vayhi Bimei Ahasuerus. It's not just that the story took place in the days of Ahasuerus. There's a whole historical context here. There is a relationship between the Jews and Melech Paras. There is a relationship between the Jews and the Persian monarch. And now there's a new kind of relationship, which is a very negative one. So the Medrash tells us, you know, when you read the Megillah and you encounter Haman and Mordechai for the first time, you think, oh wow, this is a crazy story. Somehow there was a Jew who was walking down the street and Haman was coming the other way, and now they have a run-in. They had a long history. This dates back way before the Purim story. And what is the beginning of the story? The Megillah does not really share with us, but the Medrash tells us the backstory. When we're told by Imale Haman Chema, that we're told that Haman was infuriated. Haman was so upset by the fact that Mordechai lo yichra ve lo yishtachave. What is the history behind their relationship? Says the Medrash. Lo lechinam hayim eskotetim. This was not just a little scuffle that they had one day when they bumped into each other. This was an old story. Elektata keduma haisa b'neim. They had a long history between one another. Kishahay Yisrael bonim chomos Yerushalayim b'mei Ezra. So where did the story start? As we know, Koresh gave permission to the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Ezra and Nehemiah lead the charge and they start rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim. Bo aleim hasonim. As the Jews are rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, there were a number of people who tried to stop it. V'yamru, and they said, Shelo b'rshus hamelech atem bonim. And they accused them of building the walls of Yerushalayim without the proper permit that was necessary from the king. V'heim omrim, the Jews said, what do you mean? Koresh set out a decree. We all heard it. We all saw it. Of course we're doing this with permission. And a whole fight broke out. Amar lehem hasonim. So they said, okay, we're going to have to work this out. You're going to send one representative from the Jewish community who's going to go speak to the king. We're going to send one representative from our community who will go speak to the Persian king. And the two of you will have to go and approach the king together, and you'll have to work this out. Who did they choose from the Jewish community? That was Mordechai. Mordechai was one of the people who was encouraging Jews to go back in the Shivas Tzion movement. Who was the one who was chosen from the opposite side to go negotiate? Haman. So you have Haman and Mordechai were the two people who were against each other from the beginning. Haman's whole plan was to knock down this idea of Shivas Tzion. Mordechai was one of the people on the other side who was trying so much to bring back the Jews into this idea of rebuilding Yerushalayim, experiencing a Beis Hamikdash. So their hatred went back way back, and it's only then that Mordechai finds himself back in Shushan. He did not belong there. Mordechai wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael, but he went back and forth because he was the one negotiating the deal about whether or not the Jews had the right to rebuild Yerushalayim and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. The opening scene of Megillas Esther, as we know, is the mention of the story of the Mishta Achashverosh. We know that Achashverosh makes a big party, and the Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Aleph says this was not coincidental. It is not just that Achashverosh decided that we should have a party, but rather the Gemara says that Achashverosh made some kind of calculation, and he understood that now the 70 years of that promise are over. And now that the Jews do not have a right to go back to Eretz Yisrael, even though their Nevi'im originally promised them that they would, Achashverosh says, now I'm in the clear. Now I have nothing to worry about. The Jews will never go back to Eretz Yisrael. The Jews are going to be stuck in Gullus forever. And now let us celebrate the fact that there will never again be a Geula. And as we know, we are told in the Megillah that Achashverosh takes Vekelim Mikelim Shonim. So Chazal say that when Achashverosh made this whole party, he took the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and he used them in the party that he was hosting in his home. Why? Because this was all symbolic. It was symbolic of the fact that the Jews will never go back to their land and the Jews will be stuck in Gullus forever. This was an absolute rejection of everything that the Nevi'im had promised us. And this really, as we said, goes back to a very long historical discussion about whether or not the Jews had a right to go back and build Yerushalayim or whether or not the Jews were expected to stay in Gullus. So much so that you ask, the Gemara says, why were the Jews in that generation worthy of being destroyed? La hashmid la harogu la bay. What did they do wrong? So the Gemara says in Pnei Shenenu Misudas Achashverosh, because they went and they participated in this party that Achashverosh made. So all the Mefarshim ask, they participated in the Sudas Achashverosh. What did they do already? You think they ate non-kosher food? The Gemara says that they had kosher butlers, kosher bakers, kosher cooks and chefs. So what's the problem? What did they do already? They ate maybe bishul akum. Is that what you think it is? That's an issue. They're rabbanon. Is that really a reason to destroy the Jewish people? What did they do wrong? And some explain the reason why is because this was a symbolic feast. This was the Jews submitting themselves to the belief that we will never be saved, that we will never once again go to Yerushalayim. And to celebrate in such a gathering, when you all together come and say that we are never going to go back to Yerushalayim, we will not have Shiva Sion, and we reject the words of the Nevi'im that all promised us that we were going to have that possibility of going back and building a Beis HaMikdash. That was the reason, Mipnei Man Nischayvu Yisrael, Kliya, why was it that the Jewish people were worthy of being destroyed at that time? That is why, because God promised them Shiva Sion, and they did not believe it, and they rejected it, and they did not go when Ezra and Nehemiah encouraged them to go. When Mordechai was trying to lead the charge to get the Jews to go, they were not interested in listening to him. Everybody felt that it would be more appropriate to stay behind in Chutz La'aretz and in Galus, and that really is the backstory of Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh. That really sets the stage for everything else that came afterward. Those first three words just give us a very brief introduction, but this gives a little bit more of the historical context and everything that was really going on in the background to the story of Megillas Esther.